Having time to do nothing, nothing. Absolute stillness, but not feeling guilty. Because there are many entrepreneurs out there that will say, oh yeah, I have time to myself. But how many are scrolling their phone at that time? How many are clocked into their business, even though they're clocked out on hours, but their mind is connected?
Yeah, dopamine addiction. It's a big problem because people need to stop and sit with their own thoughts. People can't sit and do nothing. It's really hard because we live in a society that makes it very hard to do nothing. I get a lot of peace, but also a lot of personal and business growth from doing nothing. Hey everyone, I'm very excited for the next episode of the Biohack Your Business podcast because today I'm talking to someone really, really special, the amazing Louise Fernando. And, you know, I've been really thinking about the conversation we're about to have and how our paths crossed all those years ago. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you today because you know how much I value the work that you do, the work that you do with your clients, helping them push through their upper limits, helping them blast through the patterns and self-sabotage so that they can expand into their business is nothing short of remarkable. And this is going to be an incredible conversation today because, you know, this is about nervous system regulation. This is about feeling safe in your business, because if you don't have a regulated nervous system, if you don't feel safe in your business, it's going to be really hard to create the results you want. And that's what we're going to unpack today. That's what we're going to dig into today. This is something that's extremely close to my heart. But before we jump in and get started on this conversation, what I want to do is introduce Louise for you. So Louise is a business mindset and energy strategist. And the bringing together of the mindset and the business and the energy is a really powerful combination. Louise, how did you get started with all of this?
So, as you know, my background has been in the social work field, has been in the criminal field. And even back then, I could see that even though there were robust plans in place for people and there was goals and there was visions, some people would hit a level of resistance. They would hit a level of resistance where they just couldn't go any further. And that always intrigued and piqued my curiosity. And when I started to dig deeper into it, and when I started to do some of that work with my clients, I could see that there was something in their body that was stopping them, whether that be a trauma, whether that be a past situation that they'd experienced. But often they would be unconsciously aware of this. And this is the way with the nervous system, because your nervous system is awake 24/7. It never, ever sleeps. So it's always alerting. It's always highlighting dangers or different circumstances that are going on. So even back then, I knew there was something different about the people that managed to really move really quickly and make progress through any addiction or through any trauma. Also, that there was something inwardly stopping them, because on a conscious level, and even in business, and this relates to business, and I'll come into more about this, but on a conscious level, we can say, okay, I really want to do that thing. I want to raise my prices. I want to run a retreat. I want to do the podcast. On a conscious level, that makes sense. Complete sense to us. It's logical. It's rational. It's, yep, that's what I'm going to do. But somehow, some entrepreneurs just get stuck, stopped. It's like it's a cell inertia. It's an inertia in their body that just will hijack them in that moment. And that is from their nervous system. When their capacity is beyond compromised, your body wants to protect you. It wants to keep you safe. And the only way that can do that is to collapse your system. Collapse your system. And that would either be by going into high levels of cortisol and going into fight or flight, or pulling someone back down into a freeze mode. And a lot of people feel quite shameful about being in these states, and they feel guilty or shameful that they just can't do that. They just can't take the action. They just want to go and do the thing that they want to do. But it's the nervous system that's really stopping them. It's not, you can't out-talk a phobia. So when I started to learn about all this in my career and things like that, I started to see a difference. When I was able to create quick rapport with clients, safety in their bodies, and have them really thinking about what they wanted to do, they made the best progress. And I could see that so many people were being held back because of something that was trapped in their body, something that was going on, whether that be imposter syndrome, whether that be a fear of being seen or being judged, a fear of selling, a fear of actually showing up and being seen as who they were. So there was lots going on in that field before I then moved into the space that I'm in now and how I then help the entrepreneurs that I help now. And some of them I've worked with have scaled from 6 months to 6 to 7 to 8 figures. And this creeps in on many different levels and layers.
There's something big, isn't there? Would you say there's a difference, Louise, between having a fear of selling versus actually something pretty catastrophic that's going on inside someone's body that's actually stopping them from doing it? There must be a really big sliding scale with, you know, oh my God, I feel a little bit nervous about doing this thing. I've got to put myself out there and I don't really want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Yes. Versus being completely flattened by something, like you said, in freeze mode and being unable to move beyond that without getting the support or without working on the kind of regulation of the nervous system to be able to deal with that. The work that you do is really powerful. It's so impactful. I know that you're a business and mindset coach and you know, you really focus on the strategy around energy. But actually, I think that the work you do is much, much deeper than that. This is about the massive things that are going off in successful people's businesses that are keeping them where they're at. And they are powerless to know what the F is going on, what they need to do in order to switch things up. Because actually, by and large, it's mostly unconscious to us. It's like, you know, how do people even know? I mean, a lot of our listeners are ambitious women running businesses. How do you describe the connection between nervous system regulation and scaling a business?
And there's a huge connect here, massive connect, because when something is unconscious, we are unable to bring it up into our conscious minds without, you know, ourselves often. It's often we will be running a pattern. And this pattern can play out. And it's when we start to become more aware of what these patterns are. Now, my background has been all about looking at patterns in depth, really breaking through these patterns and seeing on a consistent scale where someone's patterns are like playing out. And often it's not what they think it is. It's not what they
do. What do you mean by that?
So often some people will come to me thinking it's something else that's causing like a cash flow issue in their business, or it's a social media issue in their business, or they're not being visible enough. You know, they think it's something, but it's often never that thing. It depends how they are scaling. It depends what they're coming up against. It also depends on that individual and what has happened in their lifetime that has caused this disconnect in their bodies, caused a disconnect between their bodies that then capping them from scaling their business. What might happen is someone might think that they are not visible on social media. They might think there's a cash flow issue. They might think that their marketing or their messaging needs tweaked. And these are all clever distractions by the subconscious to not let the person really see the part of them that's playing out.
You talk about this a lot, the distractions that show up in people's businesses. And actually, Louise, I see this with my clients in the Biohacky Business Mastermind. And all the work that I've done over the last few years actually is that people think they need more strategy, but they don't. It couldn't be further from the truth in some cases. And this is exactly why the biohacking business movement even exists, because strategy alone is not enough. And this is exactly what you notice as well. You know, there's a lot of parallels in the work that you do. You go in the nervous system direction, I go in the biohacking direction, but it's the same thing. It's like, actually, this is not going to solve your problem because this is the real problem. Let's talk about the moment that someone hits an upper limit. What does that actually look like in their business?
Okay, so when someone hits an upper limit, it can actually feel quite chaotic for them. At that point, their capacity within their window of tolerance, we all have a window of tolerance, we all have a capacity level that we can expand and expand out of. But if we are compromising that window of tolerance and we're either clamping too much in it or we're stuffing too much into our lives, and again, it comes down to it comes down to like traumas, past things that have happened in someone's life. If someone has been told, for instance, I'll give you this example, that they have to work hard for their money, okay? If they've got to work hard for their money and they have to do everything that they can to get the top results, then what that might then play out in their business is when something comes in easy, then they want to distract. The distraction comes in because they want to overcomplicate things.
They sabotage it then. Hey, I've got this new client. This was really easy. I didn't have to work very hard for this. How can I sabotage this? Because I'm programmed to think that this is hard. Isn't it so interesting? You must see this a lot with the super successful entrepreneurs you work with. In terms of physically, what is happening in people's bodies? Like, you know, we've got the mental stuff, we've got the emotional stuff that's happening, we've got the responses that are going in. What happens physically when people hit an upper limit as well?
So when there's an upper level limit going on physically, this can release a lot of cortisol in the body.
Yeah.
Have someone feeling like they're about to explode. And I'm sure for our listeners, anyone can relate to that moment where they've said to themselves, I can't take any more of this. This feels too much. It feels too much. It feels too hot. It feels, you feel like your whole world has been tipped upside down. And it's the stretch that goes on within your body. These moments within the body then lead to outer external things like not being able to be present with someone, not being able to listen fully to a conversation, or brain fog, not being able to take in as much information because the frontal cortex is completely dashed over by emotion. Emotion, all these, the cortisol, all the adrenaline is running through the body, and that can completely just send someone into haywire and not have them thinking rationally. Then at that point, they may want to make a knee-jerk decision, oh, I need to go and do this, because all of this energy is moving through their body and they don't know what to do with it. It's a real physiological response.
The thing that you said about trauma as well, like the things that have happened in people's lives that the body holds on to, because the thing with trauma is that it's your body's reaction to something that's happened. It's your body's response. It's not the thing that's happened. It's the response to the thing that's happened. And, you know, we've all seen those graphics, haven't we, of what life is like as an entrepreneur, the roller coaster of emotions, like the top and then the bottom. These graphics are really powerful because I feel like they very accurately depict what life can be like. And it's almost like you go into it not really realizing how brutal it can be sometimes. Every single client I've worked with, certainly my one-on-one clients who are building six and seven figure businesses, they're the ones who have a chaotic business. They're the ones who feel like everything's just falling apart at the seams. And that needs attention, because actually if that's left unchecked, if that's left, it's like a ticking time bomb that's about to go off. So the trauma that the body holds on to can be really significant at different stages of business. For a long time, you know, Louise, people were talking about trauma coaching. You know, this has gone back a few years. I'd be like, you know, okay, I see that this is a thing. I can totally appreciate how important this is, but I'm just, you know, I'm going to continue helping my clients with the strategy and all the things they need. And then really what happened over a number of years, I was like, why is it that I can give the same strategy, you know, obviously in a bespoke way, to do two different clients? One will turn it into absolute gold and the other will really struggle with building the business. What's going on then? And I started to unpack this, and exactly as you had these realizations, like there's more to it than strategy. Trauma can be tiny or it can be massive as well, but the impact that it has on people's businesses can be phenomenal. It can be huge. And this is why trauma-informed coaching, this is why regulating your nervous system as an entrepreneur is one of the most important things you can do. You know that, like last year, I really had to work on this in my own business as well. There was a lot of stuff going on for me. We've had some great conversations around this as well. You're so massively insightful when it comes to this work. There's been many times, Louise, where you've been able to ask me a question and me go, Jesus Christ, this is it. You like see things that other people cannot see. And this is why I wanted to talk to you about this today, because the trauma, regulating your nervous system and understanding that this forms a massive part of the growth of your business is essential. And it's not until you experience it yourself where you you massively appreciate the value of it. You mentioned freeze mode a few minutes ago. Let's talk about what freeze is. Let's talk about what functional freeze is, because I am pretty sure that this is what I have experienced in my business. And let me tell you, it's not pretty.
There are many entrepreneurs just now I see in the online space that are in a fight and flight mode. And I always say when someone's in fight and flight mode, there's lots of action taking it going on. There's lots of movement. There's lots of let's go. There's lots of all of that. And while that's really good, because as high performers, we want to be able to stay on top of our form. We want to be able to do that. The danger is when you operate from that level for too long, your system has no other opportunity but to collapse at some point. Now, with that comes a lot of shame for people, because the conscious mind wants to be able to do these things. They want to be able to carry on with their business. They want to be able to have these conversations. They want to be able to market. They link themselves to the person they were when they were in high achieving mode or fight and flight. And they will often ask themselves, why am I not operating at that level? I know I'm capable of that. But the body's completely closed them down. And with that comes a lot of shame. Why am I not like this? Why am I not able to do this? And it's because there is a real protection layer going on for that person. And for anyone that's listening, if this is you or you have experienced this, please do not shame yourself. Please give yourself deep, deep compassion. Your body is completely protecting you from going back into that burnout. Your body is remembering what it feels like to be in burnout.
It's doing its job. It's looking after you.
Looking after you. And we cannot shame that part of it.
Giving you a chance to recalibrate, reset, slow down. And we have to listen to our bodies. Of course we do. This is a big problem, actually, because a lot of the online space, a lot of the coaching space, a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs are fed the line that business growth and results comes from the other side of foot to the floor, taking all the action. Look, I'm a big believer in taking action. We've got to take action. We've got to take the right action in the right direction, not just any action. And maybe you see this as well, Louise, is like people take action and it's as much action as they probably can possibly take, because they think the more action they take creates the more results. That's wrong. Like, we have to undo that thinking completely. Less is more often. Strategic action massively outweighs scattergun, throw stuff at the wall kind of action. And so I think there's a relearning of business. There's a relearning of like what success actually looks like and how we create and define success here. What I'm really interested in as well is, we were talking about the upper limit. We were talking about, you know, I've got to this point. I'm a higher achiever. I can see where I want to get to. Boom, something is stopping me from getting there.
This again is for our listeners. Take this on board. When you see someone make a lot of money, be really aware of what your mind is telling you. Is it saying to you, oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. Oh my goodness, how are they making that much? Because inevitably, your subconscious, you're talking to your subconscious all the time. So if you're feeding your subconscious with those kind of thoughts and those words, your subconscious then takes it on. She doesn't want that type of money. That money feels out of reach for her. That money's too much responsibility, because we're programming our subconscious on a daily, daily basis. So all of these things start to unravel.
I'm just thinking about like some of the things that I see coming up in my clients as well, you know, specific challenges that keep reappearing that don't go away. And it's almost like they keep reappearing until the lesson is learned. Okay, until you do something with that lesson. There are challenges that come up in people's businesses, whether it's team, whether it's things that feel hard, whether it's the things that people are avoiding. Louise, I just totally know this to be true from the conversations that we've had about the work that you do. And what you see in your clients is like, if people are avoiding stuff in their business, they're going to keep being presented with this until they do something with it.
And this is, I get very passionate about this topic. So we all have patterns, and these patterns will come from that unconscious part of us, okay? So when someone is hitting an upper level limit, they might start to have team issues, they might start to have troubles with their administration or with their cash flow, all of these things, or they keep hiring the same people but getting the same problems all the time. And it's because they're They're hiring from their unconscious. And they're unconscious. So they're unconsciously attracting in the same people all the time and then wondering why they're getting the same results, why the same issues coming up. And you hear someone say, why is this always happening to me? It doesn't matter how many people I've hired, they still do the same bloody thing. I still presented with this issue. And it's because on an unconscious level, they are attracting that type of person in because there's something about them that they need to break through, whether that be leadership style, whether that be something going on within the subconscious, that they are ready to break through. And the reason they're being presented with it is to dissolve it. They're being presented to resolve that part of them now. Now, what you'll find is that people will often be so, feel uncomfortable around that and think, okay, I'll just move on to the next thing because then that feels safer to do than actually.
Like the avoidance. Yeah. If I ignore it, it'll go away. But of course it doesn't go away. The lesson keeps occurring until it's dealt with. So if someone's listening to this and they are finding themselves in this situation right now, if they're listening to what you're saying, Louise, and they're like, oh my God, this is me. I'm feeling like this. I'm feeling like no matter what I am doing in my business, I'm trying all of these things and it's just not getting me to where I want to get to. What would your recommendation be? If that person was your client, what would be the first thing that you would do with them?
I would be doing a profiling with them, absolutely. When I first take a client on board, I would do a full profile with them. What is going on with them, going in their personal life, with their business life? What's going on? What are the reappearing patterns that keep occurring? Because that is when we start to dive a little bit deeper on the patterns. We start to see a theme. And it could be that there's a leadership part that needs to come up. They need to work more on their confidence, or they need to assert themselves in a different way, or they need to hold stronger boundaries. You'll hear this all the time where people take on misaligned clients and they're like, why do I always keep attracting the same client that need more from me? Or they're always in Voxer or all of these things. And it's because there's an unconscious part of you that's ready to have a different type of client. But this is where it gets tricky, because there's all sorts of levels and layers play out here as well, where someone wants to make that transition, but then there's other fears that might come up about leaving people behind, you know? So you can see it's not just one thread. There's a lot of little threads that can come from that, and that could link back into old patterns from childhood where someone has maybe been left out, they've been outcast, or they've been made to feel not good enough or not worthy enough. So then they feel that they're abandoning that person or those clients because they're then making a step for themselves. And there's a lot of to-ing and fro comes up in this part. The best way that I can describe this is, and I'm sure everyone has dated at some point or there's been a relationship at some point where you step out of a relationship and you finally feel that you're out of that relationship, but that old patterns start come in, or the other person starts to come in and almost you start to then have second doubts about, is that old relationship for me? Should I go back there? And it's because it's a comfort thing. It's almost like a cozy blanket. And we could do that with clients that are in business as well, where it feels so much more comfortable to go backwards. Actually making that stretch and raising your standards, that feels more uncomfortable.
Mm.
What does that look like to raise the standards? What does that look like to raise the standards and your boundaries of who you are, what you do and what you show up for? That is more stretchy for people. And this is where they hit an upper level limit as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's uncomfortable to go in that direction. It's much more comfortable to go backwards, not forwards. In fact, I was talking to a client about this the other day, and it's like the easy option is to retreat backwards into safety. The unclear, uncertain option is to step forward into growth. And that's the bit that is really, really hard for people. What are some of the signs that show up for people in terms of they're chasing their strategy, but their body doesn't feel safe to grow?
The strategy could be another distraction. And I think we have to highlight that part. That it's easier to focus on the strategy because it's more logical, it's more linear. It seems more logical that that's the thing. Nobody ever wants to put their hand up and say, oh my goodness, I think I've got a mindset issue or there's something going on internally, because that then means they have to take radical responsibility. It then means that actually maybe it's not the strategy. And some people are that can feel uncomfortable within itself to say that this strategy is not working. And it could be that the strategy is not aligning to that person either, that that's not their strategy, it's not for them. They've been told a strategy to do and it's worked for a while, but then it stops working. And it could stop working because it's not for that person. That's not the strategy. That's not the path they're
making. Not right for them. Yeah, maybe they're following someone else's strategy. And actually, Louise, could this be as well to do with people looking externally for the answers? But you said radical responsibility. And that really struck a chord with me, because actually building a successful business is all about taking radical responsibility. And I see this a lot. And I think that this is what we're talking about right now, is that people are looking externally for the answers. They're looking for the strategy. Hey, just follow this thing and you'll get the results you want. Of course, what happens? They don't get the results they want, because actually that's not the answer. People want other people to give them the answers rather than look inward and take that radical responsibility for themselves. This is a huge part of business, isn't it? You can't have one without the other. You can't have the strategy without like working on yourself. And again, this goes back to the packing business. It goes back to the work that you do on nervous system regulation. I think this is like the whole crux for me of what we need to look at when it comes to business. Strategy alone will only take you so far. At some point, the rug is going to move from under your feet and you're going to feel like your whole world has gone whoosh. And that's the point where you're forced to take the radical responsibility, whether you like it or not.
And yeah, and what I also want to point out as well is that all strategies work, right? We know this, all strategies do work. Yeah. And strategies can work for a certain period of time. So when someone then is doing a strategy and it's worked and worked and worked, and then all of a sudden it stops, they then become fixated on the strategy, thinking that must be something about the strategy that's not working.
I see this a lot. Yeah.
Something completely different. It's actually that their body is like, no, I don't want to do that anymore.
Alignment, maybe. You know, this just doesn't feel good for me. Therefore, my body is resisting doing this because this is not how I want to build my business.
And also being out of alignment with their values, like what is actually going on in their core.
Totally.
So there's lots of different movements that go on that, again, the breadcrumbs of, okay, this is not working, but then they keep trying to push the same thing. We don't want to get people to that point. People don't need to get to that point where they're actually going into freeze or they're in fight and flight all the time. There's an incredible way of running your business where things feel good and they feel aligned, and you can run your business as a high achiever, as a high performer, without burning out, without all the added chaos. And that really comes down to doing the biohacking. I've been a fan of using different methods to change my state for years and years and years. Cold plunging I've done since 2015. As you know, I've not drunk alcohol for nearly 4 years. I cut out chocolate 4 years ago as well. I've made decisions based on what's right for my body. How do I want my mental clarity to be? But, you know, that's all numbing down as well, though, using those tools to numb down rather than come into your body. And coming into your body, someone asked me about this today. They were like, what does it mean to come into your body? And I was like, that's a good question, because there's lots of that out there. Feel into your body, come into your body. But if you're a high achiever and you're on the success route and you don't know what it's like to come into your body, that is going to feel like you're in the Spanish class listening to the French teacher. You're not going to be able to grasp what that looks like or feels like. And getting into the body is being able to be with yourself. It means being able to listen to yourself. It means being able to notice when your heart starts racing more, when you're in different situations, when your nervous system starts to be activated. It means fully being connected with you, feeling your body, like really on a deep, deep sense of being really inward. But so life is so fast. Everything's so quick and fast right now. Is incredible. ChatGPT is incredible. But what we don't want to do is take ourselves away from our bodies as well.
This is one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my business in the last few years, Louise. It's exactly this. You know, we are programmed to be logical, practical, strategic, solution-focused thinkers. And so many people run their business from inside their head. I totally hold my hands up to this. You know, give me a problem, I'll find you a solution. This is easy for me. I'm a scientist. You know, scientists do this kind of thing. Strategists do this kind of thing. Actually, what happens when you move away from being in your head and being more in your body, when you make decisions from what feels good rather than what is the logical, practical answer? And this has been incredible for my business. Don't get me wrong, I still use my head a lot in my business. But you know, my first decisions are always, how does that actually feel? My first decisions come from my gut instinct. And then I play it in both directions. And this is why this is a problem that a lot of people have, is that they don't get inside their body enough. They don't allow themselves to feel enough, feel their way through their business. And it's not a crazy thing. It's a very, very important thing. Now, research shows, and you'll know all the numbers and the facts around this way more than I do, because this is your area of expertise. But our gut is much more accurate at making decisions than our brain, but yet most people make decisions from their brain and not from in their body. Isn't this really interesting?
It's interesting because you have your brain, but then your heart has a brain and your gut has a brain.
Yeah.
All three are interconnected. So yes, we can use our mind, and using our mind for those logical decisions, we can't make decisions when we're over emotional. So when we're over emotional and all these cortisol and adrenaline is running through our body, that's not the best time to make a decision. And that's when we need to bring ourselves back into a baseline, back into grounding, because inevitably what we want to be doing with the nervous system work and also with the biohacking is connecting your brain, your heart and your gut together. Then this is a very seamless decision-making progress. You're bringing your intuition and your body on board as your business partner. You're going to make decisions that are beyond the realm of thinking. You're going to have ideas that you hadn't ever thought about. You're going to put one foot in front of the other and not have a clue where you're going next. But trust, because you trust as part of yourself, you know that you're going to be okay. It's when the mind gets involved.
It takes over. The brain hijacks things.
Really hijacks things. And that is where we can't solve an unconscious problem from a conscious level at times.
So powerful. Say that again. That is so powerful.
We cannot solve a problem that's unconscious from a conscious level. We just can't do that.
I really believe it, and I've experienced it firsthand myself as well.
Same with a phobia, right? So you'll hear, if anyone has any children that are frightened of spiders or have a phobia, I want to invite you to think about this. We can't just say to someone, it's just a spider, it's okay. Because in a logical reasoning, yes, we know it's a spider. We know it's not a tiger in the room. We know it's not like a massive catastrophic thing. But to that person, it's the signals going on in their body. It's the responses. To them, it is catastrophic. To them, it's like having a real-life tiger in the room. And unfortunately, for many business owners, there are many tigers in their rooms. They're operating from the tiger response. So they're making decisions. They're you know, flatlining out because they have this fear, this real-life fear. And they can't, their brain and their body does not know the difference between the tiger and the real tiger and the not real tiger. And so many people are caught up in this, like this, the fear of, you know, the fear of failure, the fear of success, all of these things are tigers in the room. Now, the other part of, we have fight, flight and freeze, but we also have fawning. And this is quite a big one we see in business as well, where it makes me think about the tiger, because fawning is where we're feeding the tiger a steak. So when the tiger comes into the room, we're just feeding it a steak to please it, right? We're giving it a steak and we're saying, here, and we're just avoiding it. Here's the steak, and we carry on doing what we're hoping that we'll just quieten down in the corner.
Yeah, so not dealing with the problem at all, but just keeping it going, propagating the problem. Yeah.
At some point, you're going to run out of steaks and then you have to face the tiger.
Oh my God, true. Okay.
So the people pleasing, at some point, you know, we can... In business, we can end up discounting our offers. We can end up adding more fluff in. We can end up, you know, adding more time onto calls and things like that, because we're in a fawning state. We just want to make sure that that person's satisfied, that they get everything that they need, that they have everything. And again, this is coming from a nervous system place of I have to do well, I have to give them everything, I have to make sure that they're satisfied, I have to make sure that they're okay, and then I'll be okay.
Yeah, the need to feel validated by giving, overgiving. And this I can see totally how it comes from past trauma, from childhood, is that feeling of, you know, what I am, who I am is not enough. Therefore, I have to keep giving more and more and more. And of course, there's not an end to that. There's like, those people don't wake up one day and go, right, okay, I feel like I'm enough. It's like, it's just an endless cycle that people get into. It's a big, big problem. But then there's a sliding scale between, you know, when does that go from actually just wanting to do the best for your clients and that's healthy versus, okay, this is too much. And I guess that scale is different for everyone based on, you know, the stuff that's showing up in people's businesses as well. It's so interesting.
The repeating patterns are.
Yeah.
Especially like if you're creating an online course or things like that, there's this tendency to overgive. Like, let's put 50 modules in because then they'll have everything that they need, you know? And that can overwhelm a lot of people. So this, the fawning part can play out quite a bit in business in terms of...
I've seen it a lot. And actually creating courses is a very good example because people think that, oh, I'll just put more and more and more and more stuff in because then I feel like I'm doing a really good job. But actually, that doesn't ever reach an end point. There's still more that people feel like they need to give. We don't reach a point where people go, right, okay, I'm really happy with that, because that's an internal thing, not an external thing. But also, exactly as you've just said, people, like, for example, a coach might think it's really good to overgive, but actually how that plays out for the client is that, whoa, this is so much. This is really overwhelming. I can't even face this course. Every time I open it, I feel like I go into freeze. I don't even know where to start, so therefore I'm not going to use it. So it's a ridiculous situation that actually makes no sense, because the coach is overgiving, thinking they want to give the very best to their client. But what they're doing is they're making it hard for the client to even get any result, never mind amazing results. And so there's a complete mismatch here in what is going on. And people like you, Louise, in the work you do, really identify that and call that out for your clients. Like, hey, look, this is what I'm seeing. This is the problem that this is creating. Yeah.
So you can see why this work is so, so important, along with the strategy.
Totally. Okay. We could talk all day about this, Louise. This is really interesting. I've got a question that I've been dying to ask you, okay? And it's a little bit of an abstract question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I'm interested, and I'm pretty sure you're going to know the answer to this, or you're going to have your own perspective and take on this. This is a lot about helping people harness their own power, step into their power. That phrase is used a lot, isn't it? I'm going to help you step into your power, claim your power. You know, I'm not really a big fan of these cliched phrases, but I am a fan of, like, helping people feel empowered. Like feeling like they've got their own innate internal power. For someone who's empowered, what does power feel like in the body?
Energy. It feels like something pointing. So I would recommend, if anyone is feeling disempowered, ask themselves, where do they feel their power is leaking?
Yeah.
Because when we're looking externally for answers, we're inevitably unconsciously giving our power away. We're really giving our power away when we're looking externally. All the time when that keeps coming up. I don't like using the word. There's something around that as well, stepping into your power. And it was a phrase I used to use years ago in my business. Actually, it's deconditioning from all the beliefs. It's deconditioning from all the judgments. It's deconditioning from all the things that you've been taught or have been given as a child that have made you either not feel good enough, or you've had to work hard, or you've had to do more because a parent or a caregiver or someone has not been satisfied because their level of expectation has been higher than yours. Or it's about deconditioning from all that and coming back in home to yourself and saying, I am enough. Without all of these added extras, I am enough. And knowing that you are enough. And this is not about a worthiness lesson, a self-love lesson, or any of that. It's about really connecting. Who are you? What's your message? What do you want to share with the world? What do you know you could help people with? Because when we know we're embodied in our work, it then becomes so much easier. So much easier when you're living what you teach and breathe. And I live and breathe this work. It's not just something I've done a course on. I've been doing this for two decades now. I live and breathe everything about this work. And when you live and breathe your work, that's where the power comes from.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. What do you wish more high-level entrepreneurs knew about their own energy?
Karen, this could be a whole new podcast. I know for myself, as a previous high achiever, who someone has graded A's in university, has excelled and done more qualification than done all the modalities,
yeah,
that it's finding peace within yourself and knowing that you're enough and knowing what you bring to the table is enough, but also knowing how to optimize your performance as you scale and as you grow and as you achieve. Because there's nothing wrong with success, by the way. There's nothing wrong with being a high achiever. There's nothing wrong with wanting more in your life. But when it's coming at the point of exhaustion or your family or everything falling around you, that's not success. Success, you can have it all. You can have the money, you can have the client, you can be that high achiever, high performer, but it means being able to know when to take a break, when to go easy on yourself, when not to guilt trip yourself for having a day at the spa or having an extra lunch or, you know, going out for a walk, all of those things, or just having time to do nothing. Absolute stillness. But not feeling guilty. Because there are many entrepreneurs out there that will say, oh yeah, I have time to myself. But how many are scrolling their phone at that time? How many are clocked into their business, even though they're clocked out on hours, but their mind is connected?
Yeah, dopamine addiction. I did a podcast episode on this a couple of months ago. It's a big problem because people actually need to stop and sit with their own thoughts. And that's when the creativity really sparks and comes. Actually, people can't sit and do nothing. It's really hard because we live in a society that makes it very hard to do nothing. But actually, I love doing nothing. I get a lot of peace, but also a lot of personal and business growth from doing nothing. And I always say on my retreats, and I think this will resonate with you, Louise, and if you're listening to this and you run retreats or you're looking to run retreats, now I'm going to share one of the biggest insights that I have had over running, I think I've run 9 retreats now, is that you think the growth comes from the teaching, the learning, the sessions. Hey, we're going to be at it at 8 o'clock in the morning and we're going to run for 6 hours and bring your notepad and all the stuff. Wrong. The biggest growth comes from the moments in between, the white space in between, where people connect with one another, where people have a conversation, where people let things just settle and they stop and they sit outside in the sunshine or they sit in the jacuzzi with a glass of French champagne chatting with their new business besties that they've just met on the retreat. That is when the biggest growth comes. And I'm going to share something with you. Someone once said to me, this has gone back a few years, oh, Karen, I'm really thinking about coming on your retreat. Can you tell me, what will I get? What will I get from your retreat? And I thought about that question for a minute. And you know, on the surface of it, you might be listening to this thinking, well, that's a sensible question. That's a question that I want to ask you, Karen. My answer was this. It was, what do you want to get from it? And they went, well, and reeled off a whole load of things. And I said, do you know what? That's exactly what you'll get. Because what you get from coming on my retreat, it's in your control, not mine. I can tell you all the things we're going to do, but what you take from the retreat is entirely up to you. And let me tell you, it is way more and probably very different to the thing you think you're going to get. And that's why I love, you know, Louise, what you said earlier on about getting more into your body. This is what my retreats are amazing for, the business day and the biohacking day, because like you said, this is what people need, but this is what they don't realize until they're in it.
I've run a few in-person masterminds.
Yeah.
So there's been a full-on day and we've done the mindset and the body in the morning and then the strategy in the afternoon. A lot of the business owners that I've attended have always said they didn't know how much they needed it until they were there. And so they could switch off their phones, pack off their children, make sure their husband was away. They could delegate all their stuff and they could just be with themselves without the distractions at home. And it's quite an exciting...
It's intangible.
It's intangible. And it's exciting because you know the results that they will get. But it's like trying to tell a blind person that there's greenery outside. You can't.
You've got to experience it. Totally transformational, especially the blend of business and biohacking. I'm really excited about my June retreat in Southwest France for this very reason. I've got one more question for you, Louise. If someone's listening and they know they've hit a ceiling, if they're feeling it, if they're like, yeah, you know, everything that they've heard us talk about today is, yeah, that's me. But they don't know what to do next. Where do they start?
The first thing that I would do is to actually have a look at what's going around, what's going on in your business, what's going on in your life. Where are you seeing, where are the patterns reappearing? Has this something that's occurred before? Because then we can use a comparable against that as well. Also, this is about getting into the body. So there are many ways to cut these patterns and change these patterns. However, on a very small level, the first thing that I'd be asking someone to do, and it might go against every grain in their body, is to actually take that space for themselves. Whether that be an hour, whether that be 2 hours. I mean, I said to someone last week, you need to take a day out of your business. And they were like, I can't. I'm like, you must. And the resistance that comes up with that of taking a day out or having a break, there will be. And if there's resistance there, that shows you that you need to do this.
Totally. And if you're running a business and you can't take a day off, then you've got to have a really hard look at the business you've created, because it's not working. It's a dysfunctional business if you can't take a day off. It makes my heart break to hear about that conversation, because no one wants that for themselves.
Even if it isn't that, even if that does feel a stretch, having half a day off or whatever, if you can create a business that, and this is where your biohacking comes in as well, where your state is changed on a daily basis. If you can imagine yourself like a butterfly and you're in and out, your wings are in and out, in and out. And if you're like that in your business and you're prioritizing your health, you're prioritizing your well-being, then these upper limits are less likely to feel like a big stretch, a massive stretch. And there's a lot of work that's required to be able to downslide that up level. And that means really being honest with yourself as well and creating time within your business every day for yourself. Not just feeling that you have, and it's not just a case of go to the spa or go and have a day out. It's like really disconnect. Don't be on your emails after a certain time at night. Give yourself some boundaries as well, or have a day off and use that day off. Don't go on social media.
And do it consistently, because one day off is like, yeah, it might be quite nice, but consistently baking days off into your schedule. I think it's always funny when people talk about self-care. Self-care actually for me is not about having a manicure or going to the spa or having a massage or whatever. It's actually about fully appreciating what you need to do for yourself to respect your own body. It's like, actually, this is self-respect more than anything. What do I actually need in order to feel good, to build this business, to spend time with my family, to look after myself, to prioritize my health, to be who I want to be in this world? And honestly, I see it time and time again. People are building a business that puts a ball and chain around their ankle, and they feel powerless to step away from that. And it's soul destroying. You can't build a business on those terms if you're not keeping the promises you made to yourself. So if there's one thing you wanted to leave the listeners with today, one thing for them to tune into, what would that be?
What would that one message be? And it would be, if you can find small present moments in your day, even whether it's a minute, whether it's 10 minutes, those moments, because that's what's more important. Then when we're in the now, we can tap into that now and we can calm down our system rather than our mind wanting to take us into next week or next month, where we're either living in the future or living in the past. We're never in the now. But when we're in the now, we can naturally do so much creation in our business from the now rather than always thinking about the next thing. So it is about presence.
All we have is who we are and where we are in this present moment. I think that's incredibly powerful. Instead of chasing the future, the future might not even exist, but the present moment, the now, exists. I think this is very, very profound.
Especially if you have family, especially if you have children, and they sit at the dinner table and have dinner with them, put your phones away. Presence doesn't mean just sitting at the table and having dinner. It means listening to the conversation with intention, with pure intention of listening to that person. That is the most powerful thing you can give anyone is time. Time
is the essence of everything. People think they want more money, but actually money without time is nothing. Money without time is miserable. Yeah, we need to make money. We need to grow business. We need to create financial freedom and security and independence and all the things. But actually, we need time to enjoy it as well.
But safety is always found in the body. You always hear people say, when I do this, I'll feel more safe. When I have more money, I'll feel more safer. A lot of people will get there and they'll still not feel safe. And it's because they're looking for safety externally rather than internally. When you feel safe in your body, you will feel unstoppable.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you, Louise. What an enlightening conversation. If you've been listening to this podcast episode today and you've been inspired by the topic of this conversation, all about upper limits and safety in the body, sabotage and nervous system regulation, then reach out to Louise, reach out to myself if you need any help around this. This stuff is serious stuff, and it's something that everyone, every single person who is building a business needs to take seriously.